everyone, and welcome to Griplock Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor.
Hey.
We got a little bit of a show this week, just a tiny one.
Just a little guy.
We're going to go over the Patreon question of the week. We'll talk through a little Mid America Open. We'll talk over what we know of Paul's injury from the European Open and what that means. Trevor's trivia. And we'll talk about this Disc Golf Pro Tour launching the United Series to round out the show. Damn, and we might, if we have enough time, which we're anticipating we will, we're going to do a little halfway through the season off week predictions because this is basically an off week.
Well, we're mid through the season just like we had the Mid America.
You're not mid, man.
Thanks, dude.
Let's start with the Patreon question of the week.
Yeah.
It comes from Joshua Waddell.
Oh, let's go, Josh Waddell.
Come on, Josh. Big Josh.
And he says, in 10 years from now, what do you think the average MPO / FPO contract will be in U.S. dollars? Dollar bills, y'all. We're going to do this.
How can you get one of these groovy questions on the show, Hunter?
So if you go over to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf, you can join the Heiser Club, and then there's actually a free trial option as well. You can watch all the previous Heiser Club, which is our Q&A weekly podcast.
Where we answer every question.
The Q's come from y'all. The A's come from us.
That's right.
And basically, y'all ask us whatever question you want. Most of them, it's like 50-50 disc golf, non-disc golf, and we answer them all.
Nonsense.
And every once in a while, we get packages in that are fun to open as well.
It's true. Yes.
Oh, and that is very that's fun. Why it's called the mailbag.
Mm-hmm. And they're all our best friends.
We're going to estimate that we're talking only the top 30 MPO / FPO contract.
Yeah. I remember Jeff replied to this immediately with 150K, and I was like, that's way too high. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, I don't know. I almost need to write it out because it's I still believe that 10 years from now, the distribution of contracts will still be insanely way off. Now you have $1 million, a couple people making six figures, and then there's everybody making probably 30, 40, maybe 50K.
Well, that's one of the distinctions we had to make during the mailbag is let's not say all pro disc golfers, all professional disc golfers, because
yeah, that's what I'm saying, top 30.
Oh, I'd almost top 30.
Okay. You know, I think the easiest way to answer this instead of doing an average, because average right now doesn't really tell you anything. Because if I told you the average disc golf salary, it'd be
$75,000. What I'm saying, 10 years. From
it would
now,
be
top 30 average.
I feel like average is misleading because there's such high and low ends. I would give you a three-tiered salary.
Okay.
Because right now we have...
Give me a three-tiered cake first.
Right now I feel like there's kind of three tiers to salary. Right now you have a lot of disc golfers who are probably making 40 to 50K. You have a select few that are probably just making over six figures, maybe into 200, 300K. And then you have the very top, which there's a couple people making $1 million. And I think that's...
And by a couple you mean two. And by a few at that middle tier you mean probably five.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So you have...
I was just trying to paint that picture out there. You don't have someone in 20th place signing a $350,000 a year.
Most people that are in the top 30 are in probably that 30 to 70K range right now, FPO and MPO.
You know, one thing, this is a little bit of a caveat sidestep, but we were looking at contracts for... I don't remember why I was looking at it, but I recognized Eagle McMahon's contract's up this offseason. Obviously, Gannon Burr is up this offseason. Those are the two primetime candidates for re-signing, renegotiation. It'll be very interesting to see what they're worth into who. Because I think, realistically, MVP, they're pretty locked in. James Conrad, and they have Simon $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Discraft, pretty freaking locked in with Paul $1 million a year. Page contract, we don't know exactly what it is, but it can't be cheap.
It's a lot.
Brody... Chris Dickerson, we know his contract wasn't cheap.
Their elite team is,
their elite
is a lot of guys
is
making...
A lot of money is tied up in that elite team.
A lot of people making money.
And rightfully so.
It's a good team.
Then Dynamic, you have Ricky, millionaire, million a year. You also have Kona, 125 a year. Yeah. And then you go to Latitude, you have Kristen, 125 a year.
Yeah.
So a lot of companies have all their capital tied up. So that basically leaves Prodigy and Discmania. Which is where these two are coming from.
I think that Latitude has the most cap room of anybody. I think that they have a ton of
money. We've never really seen them spend it.
Well, until Kristen. Kristen was a pretty big investment. I think that you're right. Discmania and Prodigy are probably the two obvious ones. It's tough to know, though. Innova probably still has spending power. We don't know what Calvin signed to.
I just don't think they would spend.
But they're not. They don't appear to be that type.
I also
Discraft also they're a wagon. I mean, they do pretty well. we also don't even we don't even know what MVP could have in the bank after what they've had a heck of a run since signing Simon. But would say the obvious ones to me that we know from outside looking in, yeah, you're right, Prodigy, Dismania, and I think Latitude has plenty of cash.
We've never seen Latitude flash it. Latitude and Innova are kind of similar.
Well, it did with Kristen. That was a big deal. That was an FPO record breaking signing.
Yes. Yeah, I guess it's tough looking back.
They haven't
undervalued.
They just haven't brought in. Yeah, they haven't brought in, you know, the big time multi million deal. But
that's what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah,
they
I can see it. I mean, Latitude
indirectly through Dynamic they have.
Yeah, they haven't really. You know, it's been a while since they've really gone aggressively after the American market. To answer this question though, I think that like the top salary in 10 years will still be $1 million a year. I don't think anybody will be making more than $1 million a year, guaranteed. Maybe somebody gets more off incentives. That probably already is happening, maybe.
No, Trevor just guaranteed.
I think that second level, I think more players get into that second group where we're making six figures plus. I would say like right now, if there's like five or six people doing it, maybe like the top 10 or 15 players are doing it. And I would say that the rest of the top 30, because like it's still, you're going to have to still be like top 40, 30, probably even in 10 years to be very comfortable. I think they slide from maybe like there's some of those bottom end players making only like 40, 50K. Maybe they're all kind of getting into like 80, 90K. I mean, if we go with the inflation rates right now, they'll all have to be making like $1 million.
Well,
what'll
be
so
interesting.
Yeah, that's what, whenever you're saying the average $75,000, I was like, in 10 years,
I'm not counting inflation.
No.
So adjust, okay. These would all be adjusted for inflation.
All right. That makes a lot of sense.
I forgot what I was going to say, but yeah, I was back to the Eagle Ganon thing. Discmania can't let Eagle walk. Like, they physically can't do it.
They can, but they would have to replace. The only way they can let Eagle walk would be like bringing in Ganon or like bringing in a couple player. Yeah, I mean, they would have to.
I don't really know. I think if you lose Eagle, gain Ganon, it's a net loss for Discmania. Because Eagle is such an established brand. Yeah,
Cloudbreakers.
I don't think Discmania can let Eagle walk. If Eagle jumps ship, I think that would be the most shocking move since Paul left Innova, which basically just leaves Ganon as the question mark.
Yeah, I don't think that Eagle is going to leave.
It won't surprise me if Eagle signs a deal in the next month or two.
Before the offseason even hits. I don't know what Discmania's market is like anymore. I'm not in the competitive disc golf scene anymore to where I'm seeing a lot of people's bags a ton. Ever since COVID, things changed drastically. I mean, ever since COVID, like, you just see Discraft bags all over the place to begin with. But prior to that, the Discmania player was pretty common, and you'd see them, you know,
it was kind of trendy because it was just Innova with a different logo.
Exactly.
So it was like you wanted to throw Paul's bag, but you wanted to be a little cooler than it with it. Then you threw Discmania.
And it was fun. Like, throwing Discmania was a lot of fun. And here, since they've made this switch, I think they lost a lot of their identity as far as like, I don't see as much Discmania Plastic. In my opinion, though, there's a drastic rebrand, they have made a ton of successful discs. I think Discmania's Plastic is still really good, and I think they have every mold they come out with, I've thought, is good. Like,
yeah.
They're doing a really good job. It is different, though.
Lost its shine to me.
Yeah, I just don't know what...
I have three Discmania molds in my bag right now, but I had to relearn to love them.
To me,
it's a very different
feel. When I put my MB3 back in, that Italian blend one, if you will...
You didn't love it at first.
I didn't. All I wanted was my normal C-line.
But you have to, it's
a different disc.
Yeah. I think that with that new stuff, it feels like
Trilogy.
Discmania used to have such like a special, like, original, like, high-end feel to it.
But now it's
But it still feels like really good. But like what you're saying, I have to view the new Discmania as one of the newer companies. Like, I view Discmania in the same light that I do Mint.
Yeah.
And Castoplast. Well, Castoplast is not super new, but like Clash. Like, I view it in that same light of like, this is a new disc, new plastic. And but it's weird to have to think about Discmania.
They're about to drop the S-Line P2?
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be an interesting one. I'm waiting for PD2s.
Well, this is what I'll say.
I want S-Line PD2s.
S-Line that we saw in the FDs, the P2 is going to suck.
Well, it wouldn't suck. It just wouldn't be the same disc. Yeah.
Because the S-Line made the FDs into a roller disc, basically.
Yeah. Well,
so it'd be very interesting.
In fairness...
Because like, I feel like when I threw S-Line S, P, P2s, S-Line P2s for like a little bit,
yeah.
But it was like a very overstable driving putter.
Yeah. No, that the whole reason they became popular is because Paul started using them as driving putters. That's what I did P2s for years. P2s were just
always really overstable, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll have to see what that's like. I'm waiting for the S-Line PD2. I'm waiting for that mold to come back.
Just throw the, what's the Elixir?
Well, yeah, I have one. It's the same disc.
It's the S-Line PD2.
But yeah, Discmania, it's an interesting branding thing, but I think that they'll probably be able to keep Eagle. I'm just curious to see like how long it takes them to kind of turn it around, and maybe they're doing really well. I mean, it doesn't sell amazingly, but like there are still molds like the Cloudbreakers that people get really excited about and buy them. It's tough. Yeah, it's tough to completely flip things around. Doesn't help when your CEO goes to jail.
He was back though. He's running the European Open.
Hey, there you go. But yeah.
Did he ever really leave? That's a different question for a different day. Time for the Mid-America Open results. We had Owen Scoggins taking it down over Alexis Mandahano.
So happy for Owen.
And then you had Kat Merch and Lisa Fakus tying for third. On the MPO side, you had Andrew Presnell taking it down.
Hey, his first Pro Tour win, man. People were just getting ready to fire that one out. That's like they're talking to you.
Then you had Gannon Burr finishing in second. Kyle Klein coming in third. Presnell yet to win above an A tier, but... we'll move on to.
They're still classified as A tiers, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. So when you hit the, that's all I'm saying is when you hit the tier button on the side, it just says A tier. I'm not trying to degrade a Silver Series. I would never.
Yeah. But Hunter would never do that.
I was just saying like he hasn't won above an A tier yet. Is all I'm saying.
Presnell is my favorite Pro Tour winner.
Dude, you talking about the Prez like that, bro? Come on, dude.
He's my favorite Pro Tour winner.
That's the Prez.
It was a great win. Let's talk Owen first. So Alexis Mandahano came out hot.
Get owned.
She came out hot. I think she shot 9 under round one, I believe it was.
It was Owen
Scoggins shot a 2 under.
It wasn't 9.
I'm pretty positive.
I thought it was 6.
No. It was definitely more than 6.
Was it 9?
I'm pretty positive it was 9.
I mean, I remember looking at it and being like, oh, what course was Alexis playing that everybody else wasn't? Because
round one. Alexis Mandahano shot 9 under.
It was 9. Yeah.
Dang.
She shot 9 to Owen Scoggins 2. Owen Scoggins round 2 answers back with a 7 under to Alexis Mandahano's even. Mm. For our math majors out there, they were tied.
There you go. For our math majors.
Then you get to round
3.
A little bit of a back and forth round for both of them. Came in tied to hole 18. And you had Alexis Mandahano, unfortunately, double bogeying to Owen Scoggins par. And that was it. That was the story. Owen Scoggins wins by 2.
I missed Owen out there. It's been a while since I've seen Owen, and I always knew that, you know, Owen Scoggins, obviously she's older, doesn't throw as far, but is super consistent and has a nice putt. So I expected that this would eventually happen for Owen, where she would get a Silver Series win or just a win at like maybe a course that isn't super typical. And I'm really happy that she was able to grab one. That was awesome. Yeah. Does she have a Silver Series? Previously,
I think
I feel like she has one other, but I might be wrong. I know she hasn't won anything elite.
2023. Look at her season here.
I know she hasn't won anything this year.
Nothing this year. Let's go back to last year.
I don't know that she won anything last year either. I mean, I used to kind of consider her like
she won the match play championship.
That's what it was. Maybe that was her win. Was the match play championship?
She came in second at Ledgestone, second in the tour championship.
Yeah.
Second at Portland.
She was the Matty O, but now you've stripped yourself of the label of the Matty O of FPO because you have a win, and Matty O still doesn't.
So all it takes for Matty O to strip it is to come to Lake Marshall and
My stance has always been Matty O can't win.
Period.
On Silver Series or Elite.
So
like
it doesn't matter the field strength for someone to win at a Silver Series to you.
For him to strip that title that I have given him, then that would do it, yes.
Okay. This was
but it hasn't been done yet.
As far as I've seen, this is Owen's first win.
Hasn't been done yet.
As far as I can tell.
And she stripped herself of the can't win label. It's just like whenever you live in the top five for so long and don't win, you start to get that label, you know? And it's all jokes, but to be fair, like last year people were riding me so bad about the Matty O thing. You're like, he's going to win. Never won. Listen. Can't come after me until he wins.
Here's what I'll say. It's going to take more than a silver win, unless it's a silver win with a lot of the top players there, for me to strip someone of that. Like, I haven't stripped Owen of it. She can't win. If Katrina Allen, Paige Pierce, Kristen Tatar in the field, Owen Scoggins will not win.
Well, you're talking about a different thing. You're talking about, like, validating a win as, like, a legit win. I'm talking about, like, physically the act of getting
knowing
a win.
That their mind
well,
can
that, then what's the
win.
But, like, it's
like more of a mental thing. It's like
Owen Scoggins has won many MP, like,
it's like
SP4 40 world championships.
People, it's like, no, it's like...
You don't think that doesn't count as wins?
Well, no, like I said, with Owen, it was a little different. Like, I never really...
I would say that's a lot harder to win than a silver event in America Open.
I'm saying, listen, enough about Owen. I'm saying that...
Get owned.
Like, some people, like, there's a mental block where, like, you get into winning time almost no matter what the scenario.
Your mind just won't let you win.
And it's like, it's difficult. That's where I'm mostly going. But also, it's mostly a bit. But yeah, it's still it's working like out. I mean, it's not that serious. Statistic. Yeah,
Matty
yeah.
O won series. I don't think he can win on the pro tour.
He's dead serious. Yeah, you weren't always on this side, man. I'm glad to have you.
No, well, last year when he was like getting up there, I wasn't. But you get your. It's Calvin can't win a major.
Dang, dude. You're dying on that?
I will die on that hill. I think Calvin will die without a major.
What? Wow. What?
No, but
are you serious?
If you get Calvin,
double down on that.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you want?
What are you gonna, if Calvin wins a major,
let's make like
what
a
5-year
bet. Let's make
5 years or just the rest of this year.
No, well, there's only two left this year. You just said he's gonna die without a major.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, yeah, that was a bit, crazy. That was a bold statement.
That was crazy.
But I mean, I'll do something.
Let's make a 5-year bet, dude.
Yeah, 5-year bet. What's the 5-year bet?
Okay, 5-year bet. If he wins a major, during any time in the next 5 years. So we'll say he has the, we'll say 4.5. So he has this year,
so
2020, 2024, 5, 6, and 2027 will be the last year. So keep that in mind. You'll be
probably
like 40 years
I'll
old
be
by then.
I think. Calvin will be in his 40s. Is Calvin still going to be playing 5 years from now?
Did you say you're going to be 32 in 2027?
Yeah.
No, you're right? Not. I'm going to be 28 in 2027.
Yeah. I'll be turning 27 next year. I'll be 31.
You're only 2 years older than me.
I'm 26 right now. I'll be 27 in 2024.
I was born in 1999, which means...
I was born in 97.
Yes, which means in 1999, that means that in 2027, I will turn 28, which means in 2027, you will turn 30. Because you are 2 years older than me.
All I know is I'm turning 27 next year, and then I have 4 more years.
You're turning 27 next year in 2025, or 2024. In 2025, you're turning 28.
I was doing the 5-year.
2026, you're turning...
No, it's 4.5, though. So when this bet's over, it won't be 2027. It'll be 2028.
No, because half the year is... You get the second half of 2023. Then you get 2024, 5, 6, and 7. That is the last year. And then the half came from this year.
It doesn't matter how old you'll be.
That was crazy. In any case, the bet is...
I was doing the math of 2023... I was thinking, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. The bet is...
So I'll be 30 instead of 31.
Whoa. You'll be 38. The bet is that if it happens any time of the year, you have to do a polar plunge in Lake Hideaway on the 2nd of January.
That's too easy.
Yeah, I agree.
We would do that right now for a video. Yeah, like I did a polar plunge when I didn't shoot freaking
1200
or something at Sandusky.
Well, I mean, you made a
you
really,
have to put something on the line too.
You made a really aggressive bet. That's why I was giving you at least somewhat of an easy out. I mean, you're not going to be happy that you have to go jump in a cold lake on January 2nd.
I'll put me and Trevor will both put something
why
on the
would
line.
I put anything on the line? Because I believe incredibly strongly he's going to win a major.
So then why wouldn't you put something on the line? You believe incredibly strongly.
I guess I would in the next 5 years. Okay. Let's say... All right. Here's a good one.
Just know, Trevor, I'm doing whatever this is with you.
So in 5 years from now, if he hasn't won a major, if the USDDC in 2027 or whatever the new major is then, the last one, if it ends...
There's going to be no majors by then.
Connor and I will have to drive all the way to California and back.
What?
What do I have to do?
I don't really care.
All right, deal. I'll do nothing. Y'all drive to California.
No, you
back.
Have to.
I'll jump in the lake.
You have to.
I'll jump in the lake at January 2nd. Y'all got to drive to California
and
back.
You got to do. You have to do a 24-hour live stream playing a video game of our choice.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
And
y'all have to drive
to
California
and
back.
And we're going to drive to California and back.
Connor, this isn't going to happen for 5 more years. And that's Calvin Heimberg not winning a single major in 5 years or in 4. So he'll have 18 chances. The best player in the world has 18 chances.
In 4.5 years, my wife is going to kill me. She's going to be like, why are you doing this? I was like, we made a bet. She's like, why did you make the bet? I don't know. It was 4 years ago.
Whatever.
All right.
Do it.
That's all easy. Right. Yeah. 100%.
Oh my gosh. Am I going to shake on that?
Is there a knife? I feel like we need a blood oath.
Dude. I'm going
to. I just have to stream for 24 hours playing a video game.
Yeah. I don't know why you made them so unbalanced.
That's not
like
even
this.
Close.
Because all he has to do is win a major, dude. This won't happen for 5 years, dude.
Trevor,
we'll probably forget about it.
Make it harder on him. Don't make it where he has to play a video game. All right, well,
Connor's not agreeing to this. I can't shake on his behalf until he agrees. What do you?
All right. Anyways, Andrew Presley.
Oh, you're
gonna
back out?
I'm backing out if y'all don't shake. The deal's on the table.
Stream for stream.
No.
24 hours.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, that's a lot less exciting.
Okay, 48 hours.
All right. Well, that Andrew Presnell clutched up and got himself into a playoff with Gannon. Unfortunately, Gannon, much like Trevor.
The audience is going to kill us that we backed out of that one.
But, I did not back out. My hand was on the table.
I can't. Okay.
Because yours was I had to play a video game all
Who
day.
Who set the line?
Exactly.
Not me.
I'm not mad at you.
Andrew Presnell clutched up, got himself into a playoff with Gannon, and then Gannon did something very uncharacteristic. Missed a 20-footer in the playoff. It wasn't even like a... I mean, he hit chains. We'll give it that. But it wasn't even a good. It wasn't a good putt.
It was one of those yippy, like nose down putts that he throws.
He looked so nervous.
That normally go in, because normally they like he just does that. But it was, and if it was center, it would have gone in. But it hit like right side of the opening of the cage and like splashed, like hook splashed off of it, hit some chains, and then rolled. And then he just walked up and banged the next one. But like that
yeah, which
matter.
Is probably a farther putt. And so Presnell took it down. To take down his first win at a Silver Series or a Pro
Tough.
Tour. Very big win for Presnell here. And it was also in his home state. He grew up only 3 hours away.
That's exciting.
Which
oh,
was,
wow.
Well, yeah, and his dad was on the bag. It was a very special moment
that's
for
sick.
Him. You can tell it meant a lot to him. It's awesome because he's been a guy who's been grinding out there for years. He has.
I'm trying to gas him up, dude. You said his win sucked.
I didn't say his win sucked. He still had a good win. It wasn't a Pro Tour win in my mind. We went over that. We're not going to go through this again. He won a Silver Series event. That's harder to do than an A tier, even though it is just an A tier by classification. Harder to do than an A tier. Not as hard to do as a full on Elite Series event.
I wonder if the
who would disagree with that.
I wonder if the Memorial had a higher strength of field though, and that was just a normal A tier.
Probably not.
The Memorial had a stronger one than the last. That last
yeah, but I think
year.
This one, I mean, you were still missing.
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
Day,
he had
he
a solid
Gannon.
Win.
He
yeah,
beat Gannon.
He had a solid win. He clutched up when he had to clutch up. He did everything that was asked of him, and he beat the field that was in front of him. So what more can you ask of the guy?
Nothing.
And it was a few hours from home. He had the hometown crowd, his dad on the bag. He's been a guy that's been grinding on tour for a while.
The Prez. I never really heard of him until like the Pro Tour era.
Yeah, he hasn't really put himself in contention that much, unless I'm forgetting something.
No.
He's had some very solid finishes, but
yeah. I mean he chills and like he'll make the tour championship and he's still hanging around.
He's always one of the more underrated players on tour, I feel like.
Yeah.
Where you hear his name and you don't really put a lot of respect on it. Even though he's earned more respect than he gets. And yeah, cool dude.
Mid-America had a stronger field than Zootown and KC Wide Open and Memorial.
There you go.
So, but it was 12 points lower than Cascade, which is like the next bump up. But, you know, there was a field there.
Now, Mid-America, this was another year where weather was a factor yet again.
Yeah,
I think
it
was
snowed last time or 2 years ago.
Well, 2 years ago, remember, I think it was 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, they had to move courses. Do
yeah,
you remember
it was
that
2 years ago.
That was from snow?
It was in March and it snowed. That's why.
Okay. I just know this course, they've had to move before. I think even last year, there might have been some type of delay or issue with it. Doesn't really matter. This year, they had storm delays. They ended up round two, like you couldn't play a few of the holes. So like only a partial course for MPO was played. And so like everyone just got like a par on hole one, for instance.
Yeah.
From thunderstorms. And then final round, they were able to actually play. They also had to like finish up the second round, the morning of the final round. Tough. It's just tough. But, you know, it's one of those courses that it looks incredible. Seems like it's a great, great park, great disc golf course. But I don't quite know. I don't know. It's just a weird. It's one of those weird ones where, because originally I thought that it was always this time of year. But if it was in March and the snow is what caused it. Are we sure it was in March?
Yes. I know exactly when it was because we were at that clinic at Fallen Creek. I remember that day quite well.
And that was Mid-America?
Yeah, because somebody was, because I believe it was Nick Carl or something saying that, like, told us that Kyle Klein had taken it down.
It's
and it was, I mean, it was snow, so it had to be
yeah,
that time of year.
Yeah, I didn't think, well, I just, for
because I remember Paul dropped out because he wasn't going to play the new course. He only wanted to play.
Yeah, he only wanted to play. I do remember that, but Paul dropped out because he only wanted to play Harmony Bends, and they moved it to a different course.
I will
course.
Double check my facts, but I'm very, very confident it would have been 2021.
I'm just trying to think what the tour was doing to be near.
No, actually, it would have been 20. Yeah, it'd been 2021, yeah.
What was the tour doing to be near Missouri in March?
Open disc golf.
They went from Vegas to there?
Was it even a tour event at that point, though? I don't think it was.
It was.
Yeah. Or it was April. It was, it wasn't March. It was April. It was April 23rd to 25th.
So they went after Emporia. Or is now, is this the year that Glassblown was like an NT?
Potentially.
None of it matters. None of it matters. Anything relevant. It's just weather's affected this course a lot. And whenever weather affects a place a lot, it makes me think like, well, they're probably never going to get a full pro tour. Mm. I don't know if that's true. Because typically...
Well, you know what's it's interesting is the pro tour goes to Missouri and they don't go to Eagles Crossing. Something to think about.
I mean, it's not really that hard to deduct why. The guy told him no advertising on the course. Also... The closest hotel is 45 minutes away through cornfields.
Right.
Then he'd probably charge spectators $55 a head to walk the course.
I only bring it up because I think that's tough scenes.
They did raise Eagles Crossing's pricing. We saw, what, like $37 play
bucks,
around?
Yeah.
Like,
what?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Kind of
crazy.
I don't know what's going on out there.
You play Wild Horse for, what was it, $15?
Something like that.
And you get a cart.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that you can rent.
And you were in Vegas. So you could just stay anywhere close.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not to hate on Eagles Crossing. It's a beautiful property. Just pick it up and put it somewhere else and charge less. But yeah, that's Mid-America. I don't even know where to go from there, but that is interesting. They go Harmony Bends, I feel like, is a gorgeous course, though.
It's very well known. I just know, I'm just saying, I mostly just bring that up to kind of stir the pot and be like, it's a little tough scenes that like the self-proclaimed best course ever has the tour in its home state and doesn't have a tour event. And I know the reasons why. Like they said, they weren't going to let people advertise on
it. Well, also, the last time they tried to live stream out there, it was not exactly, go well.
That was a different story. That place is kind of cursed.
I'm just saying, dude. It didn't
bring
go
back,
well.
Bring back Big Skins. That was the funniest thing ever. Like,
what was the name of that company
That was the
again?
Most entertaining interview
what?
I've ever had.
What was
had.
The name of that company again?
Oh my god, was it something Productions?
It was like a name. It was like somebody's name.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, because GK Pro was
they were working with them.
They were like working with them.
If you've never seen that
allegedly.
Interview I did with them on our podcast channel, just go back and find it. It was the most entertaining story ever. Like crazy stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. They got firefested.
Yeah, it was literally firefest.
Yeah, it was crazy. They had been told they were laying like miles and miles of optic cable, and then the live stream went
and
on,
the guy,
and, like,
and they were just like,
it was like
bullying.
It had been pitched to us as fans that it was going to be like ESPN level broadcast. Like it was going to be like insane quality, and it just there was nothing to watch. Literally. It was tough.
It was like a FaceTime with your grandma.
That's a good way to put it.
Thank you.
Now, Paul Macbeth has, I believe it was on an Instagram post, giving us a little update on his shoulder injury. If you remember, he dropped out of the European Open. And there was a lot of like, I guess it was kind of like, not speculation, but like it was a weird, we didn't have a full story around it.
Still don't quite.
No, we don't have, okay, here you go. So it's in his, 3 days ago he posted, this is his like European trip wrap up. He was gone for 62 days, first off.
That is a very long
time.
That's
a long time.
I mean, we were gone
14.
On the West Coast for 14 days. That's
crazy.
Like an eternity.
Anyways, so at the end of it, he said, lastly, I want to say that as amazing as the trip was, it unfortunately ended with a low. My final practice round on Tuesday before the start of the President's Cup and European Open, I went for a shot out of a tree on hole 18 and injured my right shoulder. I felt a pop and instant numbing / looseness in my shoulder. As the event went on, it became increasingly more difficult to throw and putt. I've been going through the process of getting my shoulder evaluated since arriving home. I'm working with my team to make the best decisions and understand what the timeline for return to competition looks like. At this current moment, I'll be withdrawing from Ledgestone, as typical recovery looks to be about 3 to 4 weeks. I'll still be at the 3 Pro Tour events leading up to Worlds in Vermont with the hope of playing, but I won't rush this process and give updates as they come. So originally, it sounded like it had happened post round 3 before round 4 is what we were kind of told when he went back to like practice a shot. I think that's what Brian Earhart said on coverage.
Might have been a re-aggravation,
but it sounds like maybe that just kind of like re-aggravated, and that's why he DNF'd during
really
the final
sucks.
Round. Because it seems, according to the man himself, it happened on Tuesday before President's Cup and European Open ever even started.
Dang.
So Ledgestone, Connor spinning a disc and dropped it.
I've been going for 7 minutes.
Had a good run.
That is tough. Ledgestone is, unfortunately, Paul will not be at Ledgestone this upcoming weekend. So that's a pretty big storyline, having no Paul at Ledgestone, because I feel like that's an event, you know, really the rest of the Pro Tour events are always ones you're like, Yeah, Paul could win that one. Yep, he could win that one. Yep, he could win that one. Oh, he could win Worlds. Yep, he could win USDGC.
Yeah, disc golf was funny that way because we were all like, after PCS, we're like, okay, he's got momentum. Everybody was saying he was the favorite going to European Open. It was like, this is crazy, so big, and then just like immediate momentum, gone.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Wild stuff.
That's a bummer.
All right, it's time for the fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia.
Come on, Trev. I've got a fun trivia with Trevor.
I've got a fun game here. I think this is going to...
I love fun games.
I think it's going to...
I play them every week.
I think this is going to capitalize on a type of game that I really enjoy, which is like...
But will it capitalize on the type of game Connor and I really enjoy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who do you make these games for?
Are there Frisbees involved?
I don't really know. Yes.
Ooh, I love Frisbees.
So I'm capitalizing on like the effect that quick... like having to give quick answers can jam your brain.
Yes, that works really well.
So the
for me.
Nature of this game is not super difficult.
Okay.
However, the speed at which you'll have to do it will make it difficult and it'll probably be funny.
Nice.
So this game is very simple. And it's I'm basically going to name a company.
Yes.
And I'm going to then either name base or premium, and you have to give me a baseline or premium plastic from that company.
Okay.
First person to answer correctly wins. Okay.
All right.
If
every one of them, this is what's gonna be happening.
And here's the kicker:
this is what's gonna be happening. In my
but
head.
If you blurt out an incorrect answer,
yes,
you lose a point.
Okay.
Ooh.
So you
start.
That's where it's going to be.
Champ.
That's where it's going to be difficult.
Casey Pro, you're telling me that's baseline.
And I'm going to say. I'm going to say, like, for example, let me just find one that isn't on the list. I'm going to say the company's name and the plastic very quickly back to back. And as soon as I'm done saying it, you are allowed to answer. Right. So
audio listeners, so prepare stressed. Your ears.
Yeah, try not to yell super loud.
None of what I say is going to be audible.
so I've got quite a few of these, probably like 10 or so. And we'll see how this goes. It's going to get progressively more difficult.
Right. I like that the purpose of the game is to do badly, though, so I like that.
What are you talking about?
You said you're like capitalizing on the fact that whenever you're like, it's easy, but you have to go fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Innova baseline.
DX.
Ooh.
That was exactly
I don't
tied.
Know who said what.
It was exactly tied.
I literally didn't even hear Connor answer because I was saying it at the same
I
time.
Didn't, yeah, I say I heard Connor's X come in at the same time that yours did. I'll give you guys a tie on that one.
It was definitely, yeah.
That's pretty close to
as dead even as it gets.
Okay. Yeah. MVP premium.
Neutron.
Did you say it at the same time again? I'm just kidding. No,
I was going to say, exactly what it sounded like when you said DX. Only way I heard is I looked up and you were talking.
I have like the hardest time with MVPs.
It is tough.
Plastics.
Dynamic baseline.
Classic.
Ooh. Yeah, 100.
Get lit. 3-1. Prodigy premium.
400.
Dude, Hunter's killing me.
I don't know if Hunter is beatable with this.
That was intense.
Gateway premium.
Element.
No!
Oh,
no!
Oh!
Hemp blend. Oh, you said...
I don't know if I can answer again.
I don't know. I didn't make a ruling on if there's a second guess, but...
Well, he said hemp blend, and that's not premium.
Well, it is a premium plastic. It's also a baseline plastic. It's both.
Yeah. I'm going to give...
What?
It is. They make a premium one.
But isn't that hemp blend diamond?
It might
diamonds, they're premium.
I'm gonna give no points to Connor. I'm gonna give no points to Hunter because I think he canceled himself out. I'm gonna say if
wait, but he said he gave a wrong answer.
That's why I canceled.
I never specified.
I said element and then I said diamond before. You said
I never specified if you could answer again.
Mm.
I'm gonna specify now that you can't.
I didn't think I could. I was more just telling you the answer.
But because I never specified, we'll wash that round. West Side baseline,
BT hard.
Hunter's gonna just kill me at all these. My brain is not working.
Discmania premium.
C-line.
Connor, dude.
It's not like I don't know the answers. Let's just be clear. I just don't can't say them that fast.
Latitude 64 baseline.
Retro.
There's only a few left. DGA premium.
SP.
Last one.
I just can't say them that fast.
Discraft premium.
Z.
Well, that's the game.
I mean, it's hard. Hunter's saying them so fast.
I mean, I agree. I didn't realize he was going to be that good.
That was a fun game.
Yeah, Hunter was very good at that. Yeah.
Well, on from that, on from trivia.
No, that was a good game. I enjoyed it.
I had fun.
I mean, I can never predict how these things are going
to
go.
That was an incredible game. It's really hard for me to say plastics that fast. Hunter, and it was not hard for Hunter to.
It's just those types of that's just the type of game I'm good at.
Yeah, I'm not good at that.
That's all it came down to. There's nothing wrong with the game. Dutch Blitz. I cannot say enough
that that was a good game. That was a very good game.
Even the people listening would not beat me at Dutch Blitz.
I'm
very confident.
Hunter is good at that kind of stuff. And I historically get speech jammed.
All right, so the Disc Golf Pro Tour is reinstated. Here's essentially, I'm going to be straight with you. I'm sick of talking about it. You're sick of listening to it. But we got to cover it because we're a disc golf show. So my plan here is I'm just going to read, unless y'all want to do something other than what I'm about to say. My plan is I'm basically just going to read this Old Tour World article. I think it just lays out the facts. It has some quotes from Natalie Ryan, has some quotes from Sarah Hokum. And then if there's anything we want to say in addition, y'all are welcome to. But my plan was just kind of read it and move on.
There we go. Give them the information.
We've talked about this for 2 months straight.
Yeah. I'm
sick of it. It seems like the Pro Tour is sick of it too.
If you want to hear any additional things on this, obviously you can go back to some previous videos, but I recently interviewed Jeff Spring about it on the podcast network, uploaded it last week. So if you want to hear more from Jeff Spring, you can look to that. Also, I just like to say that some people were commenting saying that my questions were biased or leaned a certain way. Certainly not the case. Certainly not the case. So I just put that out there.
But Trevor specifically is very good at asking respectfully difficult questions.
I feel that every question I asked in that interview, I asked some difficult questions, but I certainly was not trying to.
That's the point of an interview.
Yeah, gain any kind of narrative. I was just simply seeing what Jeff Spring would say. So there you go. If you want to hear it from Jeff, there you go. But yeah, I agree. I don't think I'm pretty tired about talking about it as well. And all right. Think a lot of people are.
Here we go. 10 days ago, the Disc Golf Pro Tour announced that they would be canceling the FPO division at the Ledgestone Open, Great Lakes Open, MVP Open, American Flying Disc Open, and Discmania Open due to concerns about farther legal liability and expenses from additional lawsuit from Ryan, who sued the tour in California and Minnesota. All of the events will now originally run as scheduled, both as part of the Disc Golf Pro Tour point series, but also as a separate United Series with its own point structure and bonus payout to the top three finishers following the MVP Open. The upcoming PDGA World Championships in Vermont will also be under the United Series umbrella, averting a planned lawsuit from Ryan against the PDGA in federal court in the state. The United Series is only being offered in states where there are strong anti-discrimination laws around gender identity. The previous standard requiring transgender women to have transitioned prior to puberty is still in place for the Disc Golf Pro Tour's other events, Mid-America Open, LWS Open, and the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship. At United Series events, transgender women will need to meet one of the three PDGA criteria, which are already apply at A, B, and C tier events, in their gender-based division eligibility policy, which requires at least 2 years of testosterone suppression. We're happy to deliver a solution that's supported by the Disc Golf Pro Tour Tour Card players on both ends of this issue. Gender eligibility is a topic that transcends the sport of disc golf and is destined to be adjudicated in larger sports and bigger courts, said Disc Golf Pro Tour CEO Jeff Spring in a statement. Last week's announcement has affirmed my belief that the sport of disc golf must find a middle road. Over the past three seasons, the DGPT has shown that we embrace and celebrate inclusion while acknowledging and working to address the serious issues regarding competitive fairness. The United Series allows us to preserve and offer both. We've been in constant discussions with the players on this, listening, learning, and forging this durable long-term solution for professional disc golf that all can support. In a memo sent to the tour partners obtained by the Ultra World Disc Golf, Spring described the importance of needing to find a compromise solution to continue to operate women's professional disc golf and avoid legal liability that could result in the loss of viability of the FPO division or even the entire business of the Disc Golf Pro Tour. The DGPT has decided that while all discrimination isn't affordable, some of it is, Natalie Ryan told Ultra World Disc Golf. I will not stop until they admit their wrongs. Ryan's lawyer, Brian Siaka, said, I'm happy that Natalie will get to defend her titles at D-Glow and MVP and to compete at Worlds. I don't agree that creating a separate but equal tour or division provides a long-term solution to the problems created by the PDGA and the DGPT with the adoption of their gender eligibility policy. Wow, I can't read. We will continue to use any available mechanism to overturn Section C.3 of that policy. Disc Golf Pro Tour release quoted three players, Kristen Tatar, Paige Pierce, and Ella Hansen. In support of the tour's approach, Tatar said on the Tour Life podcast this month that she believed transgender women shouldn't be allowed to compete in the FPO division, but she was not among the FPO players, including Katrina Allen and Sarah Hokum, that held an impromptu press conference before the Preserve, speaking out against transgender women being allowed to compete in the division. Today on Facebook, Hokum wrote, "For us to take on the task of solving this ourselves puts the growth of the sport in jeopardy. While the United Series is not a perfect solution, it does ensure that FPO players can continue to pursue their dreams, travel with their significant others, and play on courses that have historic significance and strong community support, while still maintaining the view that that bodies that went through male puberty make competition unfair in FPO. This also ensures that DGPT is in compliance with state laws and regions that recognize gender identity and sex as identical. While this is still a huge compromise most of the FPO does not want to make, I think it's the best path forward at this time so we can all get back to what we love. Playing disc golf and creating positive connections with our communities and each other." The Disc Golf Pro Tour said that the United Series could be extended into 2024 and beyond.
Cliff Notes. Cliff Notes would be, Pro Tour has now created new series to justify, it's not the FPO, it's different series, but it is the same thing, and it's only happening in the states where they were worried they would get sued. That is basically the cliff notes of that statement.
Basically, the Pro Tour still believes its original policy but can't afford to fight for its original policy, so it's treading water until a different sport can fight for them.
That's what's happening.
That's essentially what's going on, and they're calling it the United Series. So that's what's going to be going full on forward. If you have tickets to D-Glow, Ledgestone, all of that, and you were worried about not seeing FPO, you will now see them
No. You're going to see the United Series.
Yes.
Not FPO.
United
Series.
What was the game we were going to play?
We were going to play a game.
We're going to do predictions. That's not a game.
We don't play games on this podcast.
This
is our serious gamers, podcast.
Dude. We were going to play a game.
Hunter's going to be playing a game for 24 hours straight, dude, after Calvin wins a major.
We never agreed to the bet. You didn't shake on it.
I got
to
restructure that. Listen, guys, hold out.
Leave suggestions in the comments.
Hold out for me.
Moment's gone.
You will. I know you will rise to the occasion if I give you a fair bet. I just want to let the people know.
I rose to the occasion. I don't know why you're throwing this
I think
all
we need
me.
To ask them, hey, guys, put in the comments.
I did too. Connor didn't agree with it.
I was trying to shake your hand.
But I was. Connor was tied to that bet. You understand.
Give suggestions.
All right. You know what? No. I'm going to lay this all on the line. I won't involve Connor in this. It's just me. If same terms. If, like, he just has to win the same ones we listed earlier within 5 years. So 2027 is his last year to win a major. If he does, I'll stick to the same thing. You got to do a 24-hour stream playing a game of my choice on stream the whole time. Can't sleep. If he doesn't, I will drive across the country, but I'm flying back. But I will still make the 20-some plus hour drive across. Okay, that's fine.
I was willing to shake on the original bet.
Well, I mean, it's literally just a bet for my awful punishment. You have like nothing at stake, so that's fine.
You wanted to set the line.
That's fine.
I didn't create the line. I deny the original line of just jumping in a lake because I said it wasn't severe enough.
Listen, I just gave you an opportunity.
If you go across the country and back, I'll shake.
If Foundation pays for the gas and lodging, because like that's going to require way too much of my. That's basically like I just bet you $1,000. Because the amount of gas and lodging that would require would be way too expensive. That's where my head's at.
Seemed pretty confident when you were betting earlier.
Right. Well, I started thinking about how much it would cost.
You and I want to bet the 24 hour against Connor because Connor's the only one that believes in Calvin now, it seems.
Well, no, I believe. What? All right, I'm done talking about this.
All right, we got a prediction for the rest of the schedule here. 2023. Do we want to predict event by event or just go majors and award winners?
Probably just majors and award winners.
All right.
Well, we could go event by event. There's not that many events left.
Let's just do Elite Series.
Yeah.
Ledgestone.
Ledgestone winner. Ricky Wysocki.
FPO. FPO, can we just...
Kristen Tatar is the winner for everything.
So we're just going to... You're going to be dumb if you don't pick Kristen. Yeah, so okay. FPO is off the table because we're picking Kristen and all of them. Ledgestone, you got Rick. I like that.
Actually, I'm going to change my mind.
I'm sticking with Rick.
Kyle Klein. Kyle Klein's hot right now. I believe he has half a win at that tournament with Rick.
Calvin Heimberg.
No, it's.
I'm pretty sure it was Calvin Heimberg.
Oh, yeah, it was Calvin.
Yeah.
Calvin and Rick.
Dude, Calvin's going to ruin this bet.
Does Kyle have a whole win there?
I don't think. You're thinking of Legend or Idlewild.
Yeah, you're right.
I have no
idea. Calvin Heimberg could easily win Ledgestone. Doesn't have that M next to it.
That's true. That's true. I think that could be a Calvin Turney.
You like Calvin? So Calvin Rick,
Calvin Turney. Calvin
Rick Kyle. Doesn't have that M next to it. That's freaking funny, dude.
LWS at Idlewild. We don't know if Paul's going to be back yet. I think Isaac Robinson repeats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, give me Big Isaac.
All right. All right. I like it.
Three-way Isaac.
Sure.
All right.
Right. D-Glow. I think I'll take...
Give me Big Ellis.
I'll take Calvin Heimberg.
Taking Corey. Corey
Big,
L.
Big Gan.
Gannon, I like that.
Yeah, Big Gan.
Next down.
Gannon the Cannon. Why is he not called Gannon the Cannon?
Sure. I don't know. Sure. Pro Worlds in Vermont.
Vermont.
Give me Chris Dickerson.
But it's in Vermont.
So?
He's got to be able to drive there.
I'm taking...
He won GMC there.
I'm taking Calvin Heimberg.
You like him at the Vermont courses?
I like him at any course.
I don't like him at the Vermont courses.
He doesn't have weaknesses that apply to a course.
Well, when there's a major. I like him at USDGC.
I think we got a dark
I might
course.
Pick him
I think
at
we
USDGC.
Got a dark horse you're world sick, winner this year.
You're sick.
You're going Prody?
No.
Oh.
No, I mean dark horse isn't like, you know, not like...
Oh, who's that?
The norm.
Oh.
Who's
that?
I'm going... Simon Lazar.
Okay.
Hey, that's, I respect you, dog.
Yeah. It could happen. You can't say it won't happen.
I respect you, dog.
MVP Open.
Silas Schultz.
Oh,
wow.
I like that. I like okay. that. I'm going...
He's a thrower, man.
MVP Open.
Dude, come back to that take in a few months. I'll tell you right now.
MVP Open.
Silas Schultz, you owe me $200 if I guess that right of your purse.
Paul McBeth.
Wow.
Pauline.
I think this is when he... I think he comes back for Worlds.
Home slice is not...
I think when he comes back for Worlds, he doesn't have the weekend he wants. His shoulder's not fully back yet.
Yeah,
he
but
comes
what
out at MVP and just pounds the field.
I think he comes back. I think he's going to win Worlds.
Who?
You didn't pick him to
dude,
win
Dude, we
Worlds.
Need to start... You know what we need to start doing is like
I think
prop
he's winning
bets.
Worlds lefty.
We need to start doing prop bets like who jumps further into the lake at MVP. Like, that would be fun.
USDGC. I'll take
Ooh.
Calvin.
You're a sicko, dude.
I feel like he could win that.
Give me Iguodala.
He can. You're right.
Yeah. If Calvin's going to win a major, it's going to be USDGC.
I'm going to go ahead and take I'm going to take Gannon back to back.
And also, Isaac Robinson could very easily do it. Yeah, Kyle Klein's almost done it. Corey Ellis could do
I
it.
I want so badly for it to be Chris Dickerson, but I don't really feel like
he's already won
like
it once.
I know, but I don't feel like it's going to happen.
Could be Paul McBeth.
Respect.
Could
dog.
Be.
Turn his year around
Respect.
Again.
I think it's going to be Paul McBeth.
Paul McBeth.
Respect.
Yes. And the Pro Tour Championship to finish it all off. Remember, they're doing a new format this year.
It is going to be Ezra.
Yes. Second half singles, right?
I think it's all singles.
I thought it was a half-half this year. I thought it went...
I'm pretty sure it's just singles
didn't
and
it,
then...
Didn't it go match play?
I thought it goes like singles
Or is it
ranking.
Go singles into match play? I thought it was a half and half. I'm like almost positive because
I'm
I
going
remember
Ezra.
Dylan talking about it. Dude, I love that pick.
Thank you. I kind of...
Except they're
going
to be playing in the woods. I hate that pick.
Yeah.
That I'm going to take...
Yes, that is a good point.
I'm going to take Rick.
How do I?
Big Rig. He's so good. Dude.
It is so hard to find anything on the Pro Tour's website.
You're not kidding me, dude.
If cats be kidding.
You got to be looking like announces new
but yeah,
format.
Then go like,
you got like find it verbatim, basically.
News, announcements, and then I'd like scroll back for
I just remember
months.
I remember like Yuli said something about like he wanted it to all be stroke play. And then I feel like right after they changed it, but it was a compromise. It was like a half and half. Because right now... You play in your cards, and then it turns into. Remind me how the old format was. It went from you play out.
Okay, here's
the play-ins played out of their cards, and then it went to a bracket. Right.
Yeah, but you still played out of your cards. People had buys. They got rid of buys in 2023.
Oh yeah, every single round you played out of a card. That's right. It was a weird format.
The format will be changed. What's the course? Qualify. Seating. Okay.
Hit them with it.
And so Pro Tour Championship will happen in four rounds, separated into two-round phases, the semifinals and finals.
Yes.
Unlike the previous years, no players will receive automatic buys until a later stage.
But there's going to be a stroke head start.
The winner will have... Yes, only in the first two rounds, I believe.
Yes. and then it resets or something like that.
The semifinals will be two rounds, and every player in both divisions will play both rounds. In lieu of buys, the Pro Tour is giving higher seeds starting strokes that they can subtract from their cumulative score, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Seeds are given out based on tour points. Okay. Top 12 and 8 with the best cumulative score. From those two rounds, move on to the finals. The finals will be two rounds, but this is no starting strokes, and better seeds have no advantage. Players with scores are reset to zero, and whichever player turns out the lowest cumulative score over the final two rounds will win.
So it's four rounds of singles, but the compromise they made, it was like, okay, we'll do the starting strokes things, but only to get you to the final two rounds, and then we're just going to wipe away every bit of advantage that you work for the whole year. So that's where I was kind of like,
it's very dumb.
It's kind of stupid.
Well, it's also dumb because it's like, we'll give you a stroke advantage to get you into the final two rounds, but then the final two rounds, everything just resets.
Yeah.
So like, even if I'm a lower player and I shot hot and I like overtook Paul and Rick those first two rounds, and I might have them by five strokes.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It,
all gone.
Yeah, it could hurt. It's a weird one. I don't know. Because
then like, if I'm like in sixth place and I'm in first going into the final 2 days, I like shot out of my mind those first two rounds.
They should just let
gone.
It. They should
just let it play
just
out.
Just let it play out.
Give a stroke advantage and just let it happen. Still do the cut, sure, but just let the scores roll on.
Let them roll, baby.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Well, I understand it. I don't think it's smart.
It'll be entertaining though.
It's always entertaining.
At least it's like a little.
Well, but
at least
it'll be
now
less entertaining.
We'll have. Well, I don't know. No, I think because it will be a bigger field. It'll be more straightforward. And like in this scenario, we should see the best players should get to the finals at least, whereas before it was like that bye didn't really do you much.
But
now we should at least see the best players get to the finals.
It's like a weird in between where you're like giving the best players an advantage as they deserve because they've played all season long very good, but then you're like kind of taking it away midway through and like, okay, well now just go play disc golf.
Yeah.
At least the last one, what made the last one exciting was you just had no clue who won because like whoever got hot. This is just like, We're basically just playing for a 2-day tournament on the weekend.
They're trying to decide what the identity of that tournament is because like on the PGA Tour, if you won, like the way it used to work, this isn't the case anymore. The way it used to work is you could win the Tour Championship and not win the whole thing. And winning the Tour Championship just on its own was still a pretty big deal. Like it was considered that you won an event because it was fair and square. There just happened to be another guy collecting a $10 million bonus check sometimes. Like for instance, the year that Tiger's first win in his return was the 2018 Tour Championship. That was a huge deal. He didn't win the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it was a huge deal because it was a win. Nowadays they've changed it because they realized that it was very weird having like two winners sometimes. So at least this tournament won't have that going on because they're not basing
kind of though. Well, because you'll have a Pro Tour points winner. They'll get awarded and then you have the Tour Champion.
Yeah, there is still
you'll
that
have two Tour Champions.
Yeah, there is still that factor. It I think golf made the right move when they tied it and said, like, there's only going to be one. But even in golf now, there still is, you know, there is still technically, they just don't consider the person who is in the lead at the end of the regular season the champ, which maybe that's what disc golf needs to start doing, is like, whoever finishes at the end of the regular season is not the champion.
I think to do that, though, you need to just give the stroke head start and let it roll.
I would agree.
Because if you take it away, then it's like
what? It's not really
basically
fair.
The whole tour champion is decided by two rounds of disc golf.
Yeah,
all square playing field.
You're right, man.
Well, that's what's always been confusing. Is like
it's also the biggest purse all year.
Yeah, very rarely. It's only happened maybe once or twice that the tour point winner wins the tour championship.
Yeah, because Dickerson was doing it.
And it's just a weird thing. Because you have like Nate Queen is the tour champion because he won the tour championship, right? Wrong. Ricky Wysocki. He actually played good all year.
Yeah, dude. Well, last year we got it last year, right? Because Rick won by like
half
a point.
Yeah, I think Rick won. Yeah, I think Rick won and Rick won. But it's just like
it is a weird one.
The idea of like you play all year for the stroke head start. And then that decides who's the tour champion.
Well, and it's the hardest thing to do, right? Is to get to that lead.
Yeah.
Because you got to do it all year long. So, yeah.
That's what I like. That's what I would like.
That's what he likes.
Who did I predict to win it?
I don't remember, dude. I had Rick. Did you even say somebody?
Isaac Robinson. We're in the woods.
He choked it away last year. Well, he didn't really choke it away. Ricky took it. Yeah. Honestly.
But I like him. And Connor said Ezra Aderholt.
I did. I'm going to stick with it.
Ezra in the woods.
Yeah, I love Ezra in the woods. That's the podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. Actually, we'll see you for the preview show of Ledgestone this week.
Pro Tour.
And then we'll talk to you next week as we wrap up Ledgestone. Something to think about.
Something to think about.